Hello and welcome to Bereaved Motherhood and All It Entails. I'm your host, Mackenzie, and on today's episode, we're going to be talking about dealing with avoidance as a part of grief. So avoidance and grief, this is often something that people a little further removed from the loss will choose to do in their grief or what they may feel comes the most natural to them. But that doesn't mean that parents and those close to the loss cannot also experience avoidance within their grief. And so I think it's important to talk about all the different ways that people grieve and what can be helpful and what can be harmful in these different methods. We know that we all grieve differently. There's quote unquote different stages of grief, which is more of like different feelings that is very, very common. Almost everybody will feel all of them, whether they move through them in an organized, systematic way, or they kind of jump from one to another or experience multiple at the same time, has been debated. But I think we, as a society and from studies, are more of the understanding that people feel multiple things at once and that this isn't just a neat, orderly path that people work through. But avoidance is not a stage of grief, and so that is important to recognize. One reason, the top reason actually, that people choose to avoid their grief is because the emotion of grief is hard. It's hard work to grieve. It takes a toll on your physical, mental, spiritual health, energy, well-being. It's a lot of work. And so for some people, especially people that may tend to be more passive aggressive, or people who are raised in homes and whose family culture is more of like, we sweep things under the rug and we never really deal with them. We're never gonna, address the elephant in the room or really like deal with conflict and work through it and kind of come to a healthy resolution. People that come from these backgrounds and that maybe are more likely to demonstrate these tendencies often are more likely to choose avoidance and grief because it's a hard, hard feeling. And it could very well be the hardest feeling that, you've ever gone through, very, very likely. And so if you're not used to dealing with other difficult circumstances or hard feelings, how much lesser are you prepared to deal with grief? And so for some people, as a survival instinct, they just try to avoid the situation because these feelings are very, very hard. But we have to remember that grief is not bad. Grief is actually healthy. It's the mind and body's way of processing loss, and it's natural and it's needed. Grief is not dangerous. It cannot hurt you. It can be scary, absolutely. There can be much, much fear with these feelings and with what grief looks like and feels like, but it's not bad. It's not dangerous, and it's not going to harm you. It's just really, really hard. And so because of that, that is the number one reason people choose to avoid. They just feel like it's too hard. I can't deal with this right now. Mimi, you have a lot of demands on your plate. Mimi, you're somebody that's like, I can't take a lot of time off work. I'm going to have to jump back into my career and into my job. Mimi, your work is a high stress, high demand job where there's a lot asked of you. You have to do a million things at once. Mimi, there's high risk involved in your job where if you make a mistake, the consequences could be really, really severe. And you're like, I just need to pour myself into this. I need to think on this. I need to be completely 100% dedicated and focused in my work. And so I'm going to avoid my loss. I'm going to avoid the grief. Maybe you're someone who's like, I am just so busy with other things in life. Maybe you have other people you have to care for, whether those are living children, whether those are aging parents, whether it's, whoever. you have all these other responsibilities, and you already feel like you're pulled really, really thin. And it's like, in my little time I have, I just don't feel like I have the time to grieve, because I feel like if I go down that path, it's going to take over everything and I'm not going to survive. I'm going to drown in it. And so I'm going to choose to avoid. But unfortunately, avoidance more often than not can create complicated grief. And it is actually can become a grief disorder. Some people choose to gravitate towards substances in their act of trying to avoid. So maybe they self-medicate themselves with drugs or with alcohol because they want to numb themselves to the feeling of grief and of that pain. And so they're avoiding dealing with it by numbing them. And they're oftentimes using substances to do that. And of course, that can create a whole other long list of issues and problems and only complicates the situation. You know, drinking yourself into oblivion, getting as high as a kite is not going to solve your problems. It's not going to take the pain away. It's not going to take the loss away. It might be a temporary escape, but in the long run, you're just causing yourself more issues, and it's going to be harder to go through this and to process this. And it's not a long-term fix. It's a very short, temporary, quote-unquote, fix. It's important to remember that avoidance is generally by the professionals considered to be an adaptive response to loss. And it can be, you know, it can be for a lot of different reasons, but often it's emotional and it's situational. In the beginning, avoidance will often allow for a reprieve from the pain. If you don't have to think about it, if you don't have to deal with it, if you can keep yourself so distracted and so focused on so many other things, or you can numb yourself temporarily, you are giving yourself a temporary reprieve. You know, you're consumed with other things. And so in the short term, it can seem to work. And so that can promote people to continue to choose the avoidance route. Like, yeah, see, this is working. I'm doing okay. When I think about it, I'm a mess. I'm in tears. I can't function. And some people hate that feeling. They hate the feeling of like losing control and just that vulnerability that comes with grief. And so this is a way to be like, see, I'm really doing fine. Look at me. Look how successful I'm being. Because in the short term, avoidance often appears to work. And that's one reason why it can create grief disorders later on, is because it's not a long-term fix. It's a band-aid solution to grieving. Complicated grief is a very serious condition. It's often very debilitating. And it happens in what's estimated to be 7% of the grieving population. But we do know that that number is much higher among bereaved parents. Bereaved parents are at a much higher rate for complicated grief. They're actually at the highest. And it's just thought to be because it's the most unnatural loss of any loss. And so because of that, and because of just the uniqueness of it and all the other factors at play, parents are at a much greater than the typical 7% statistic for complicated grief. There's a couple different, you know, theories that are professional research theories that go to talk about, you know, why people choose avoidance and how that plays a role in complicated grief. But, you know, on this podcast, it's informal, it's community based. So I'm not going to get into all that. If that's something that interests you, you can certainly look those up. They're very easily accessible. But let's go on to talk about the challenges in assessing grief with avoidance. We know that people that practice avoidance have a much higher risk of negative outcomes compared to their fellow bereaved counterparts. They often have intrusive thoughts and even are more likely to consider suicide or even commit suicide, because we have to remember, as we're suppressing our grief, as we're just choosing to avoid it, it's still there. And deep inside, it's still festering and it's still growing and it's still affecting us, even if we convince ourselves it's not and convince ourselves we're doing okay. Because, like, look, I get up, I go to work, look what I'm doing in my job, look what I'm doing in my home life, look what I'm doing with my friends. See, I'm living, I'm going out, I'm having drinks with my friends, we're going to dinner, my life looks great. Right? I do everything I used to do. You know, what are you talking about? I'm handling things so much better than so-and-so that, you know, is locked up in their house and terrified to enter society. But deep down inside, that grief is still going and it's still building, and it can cause a lot of really deep-seated emotions. So, and one of those being, you know, suicide and self-harm, because the life you're living is a charade. It's not real. It's an act. And eventually you can't keep up the act, and inside what's actually going on will bubble forth. And often then there's going to be this volcanic eruption where the top comes off and the grief flies out everywhere. But now that it's been bottled up for so long, it comes out. It's usually much uglier. It's hitting things much more chaotically and dramatically, and it's a lot harder to stop that eruption and to deal with it, because it's an eruption, it's just going everywhere. And so that's, you know, something to keep in mind, is that this is not a solution. This is harming us, and it's putting us at a higher risk for a lot of things. It can be really hard to recognize avoidance among, you know, bereaved people. And oftentimes, it's just because the person seems to be doing well. They seem to be going about life. They seem pretty normal. So your family and friends may have no idea that you've gone down the avoidance route. You know, they might think, oh, they're just handling things pretty well. You know, they're just really strong. They're, you know, they're just doing good. When in reality, you know, you're in a lot of pain. And so it can be important to try to find someone who is safe, who you trust, that you can really share your heart with, and that you can begin to help you and support you in your grief. Because sometimes we feel so much pressure to act normal and to behave a certain way that, you know, we force it. And by doing so, we can be avoiding our feelings and our emotions and our grief and suppressing that to make others feel better and to make others comfortable. And that can also lead to the road of avoidance of, hey, I just want to keep my friends. I want to keep my family. I don't want people to treat me weird. I hate the way it makes me feel. So if I just avoid this, if I just pretend everything's okay, well, then eventually life will just go back to normal and, you know, this will just pass. It'll just, like, I'll just get over it and move on. But, you know, again, grief has to be processed. So this does not work long term, but it could be a reason why people aren't, you know, don't have red flags raised. They don't see them because you appear to be doing very, very well. And then it's also important to know that if you choose the avoidance route and someone close to you, like your partner or someone like that, is not choosing the avoidance route, they're, you know, very open and honest with their grief and they're processing it and they're openly grieving, it can cause conflict, because your other partner can see you and be like, why aren't you sad? Why aren't you grieving? And maybe you're trying to be the strong one in the relationship and you look at them and you're like, hey, we both can't be like this. One of us has to be strong. One of us has to be tough. So they just kind of avoid their feelings because they feel like they need to be the rock for someone else. And it's important to know that, you know, you can grow, you can support each other while you're both openly grieving. And that's actually healthier, even if it looks like it's going to be more of a mess. And it might be, quote unquote, more messy, but it's healthier, especially in the long term for both of you. And it's less likely, it's less likely that there will be conflict over, you know, one partner being like, well, you're not grieving, you're not sad. Did you even love our child? Did you even care about them? Do you even remember them? Do you think of them? And, you know, then there can be hurt from what they're perceiving as indifference, when in reality, it's just grief avoidance. And so again, it can be really helpful to make sure that you can talk to somebody and even be like, hey, I'm struggling dealing with it. Like, I'm so scared of feeling these feelings and dealing with this. Like, I just don't don't even know where to start or how to begin, that I'm, you know, suppressing it and just avoiding it. And like, I need help grieving and learning how to grieve. And, you know, there's obviously grief therapists that can help you through the grieving process. But you don't necessarily need to go to therapy for that, right? You can have family and friends that you trust that you can confide in that can help you with it. And especially if, you know, you have someone who's deeply grieving your loss as well, you know, that it's affected them very personally too. And you guys can kind of walk this together and support one another and share your feelings and, you know, your triggers and what's causing you to have a bad day or a better day or what you missed or what you're struggling with. And just having that person, that honesty that you can kind of talk and debrief your feelings with can be really helpful. And maybe you're more of the person that you're like, you know what, I just need to go into a room by myself and I just need to journal, or I just need to do art. And you can kind of grieve and process your feelings in that way if you're really uncomfortable, you know, sharing with another person. And, you know, that works too, but you just have to get your feelings out. You have to process them and think about them and actually grieve. And so I just want to encourage you to be honest about the way that you naturally are handling grief, and then understand, okay, what about this may be helpful and what about this is unhelpful and even potentially harmful? And then how do I go about grieving in a healthy way? You know, and avoidance just, it isn't healthy, and it just doesn't work in the long term. As human beings, we're resistant to loss. We're resistant to death. We don't want to think about it. We don't want to face it. And we live in a culture that suppresses it. And honestly, we live in a culture that avoids death. So in a sense, especially in this Western world, we're almost taught avoidance because society doesn't want to talk about it. They don't want to deal with it. They're completely uncomfortable with it. And so that can also put pressure on us that we just need to get over this. And so avoidance can become our tactic. Any type of significant loss, you know, whether in our case, it's the death of our child or another type of loss, it requires a grieving process. And this is true for all people of all nationalities, of all tongues. Like, this is a human natural response that we have to go through. The whole idea that we can just avoid a hard situation and that it won't bother us, unfortunately, I feel like is very American, in this idea of like, you know what, we're just not going to deal with that and everything's going to be good. All right, we're just going to be optimistic. We're just going to push our way through. And I think that is more common too in a capitalistic society where it's like hard work, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, you got this. But that attitude doesn't work in grief. You know, we have to be vulnerable. We have to feel these feelings, and it's scary and it's hard. But if you are someone who is more likely to try to avoid, you know, remember, you know, the quote unquote different stages of grief. Think of denial, think of anger, shock, you know, blame, the bargaining, the depression. And then, you know, the last one being like acceptance, and think, am I going through these? Am I feeling these? And again, obviously we all feel different things differently. Some people, you know, really gravitate towards anger while others more depression, and others, you know, maybe it's just a deep, deep sadness, uncontrollable weeping. Others are just completely shocked. They just like live in a state of shock. You know, others just can't believe that this is true, that denial and shock, you know, goes hand in hand. But if you're not feeling multiple of these things, and kind of in some ways being able to relate to the different stages of grief, then that could be a red flag that maybe you're trying to avoid it because you're scared of those feelings, or, you know, you just don't want to go through it. It's like, no, I have other things I have to do. I don't have the time. But whatever the reason is, you know, that can be kind of a good check-in to be like, okay, where am I, you know, in this avoidance spectrum, you know, in the grief world? Our bodies naturally are designed to pull away from what hurts us, right? Whether it's that taut, ow, I'm going to pull my hand away, or, oh, that's a scary situation. I'm not going to put myself in it. I'm going to remove myself from the situation. And, you know, loss is very, very painful. And so there is that natural desire to pull away from the pain. And for some people, that's really, really strong. And then again, that can lead to avoidance because I want to pull away from this. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to handle it. So there can be so many reasons that people fall into avoidance within their grief processing. But it is just so important to understand it's not healthy. It's not a good way to grieve. It causes problems for you and your loved ones. And it's important that, you know, we get to grieve. And if we are choosing avoidance, that we can kind of recognize it and be honest that this is a tendency we have, and really kind of work through that. And that's where like that accountability partner, someone you can kind of grieve with, if you choose therapy, your therapist, whoever can kind of help you and make sure that you are walking through this and grieving. And again, that community, that support, building yourself with those safe people where you feel free to grieve. And finding healthy outlets to grieve, so very important. But just know that, you know, no one grieves perfectly. We all have faults. So if you are listening to this, you're like, oh my goodness, that is me. I am totally the avoidance and grief. And now you feel bad about it. And, you know, I don't want that. I don't want you to feel bad. I don't want this to be discouraging to you. I want this to help you so you can say, hey, yeah, this is me. That's what I'm doing. And then hopefully you're able to, you know, recognize that and start working on it. We all make mistakes in our grieving. No one, as I've said before, grieves perfectly. We all grieve differently. And, you know, that's okay. And it's one of the hard things about grief. And, you know, the difficult things for people supporting you is we all need different things. We all kind of take it differently. And none of us experience the exact same loss. And so there is differences here and there. Some really quick questions you can ask yourself that can be helpful about, hey, am I maybe going down this avoidance path? Is if you can't talk about it. If you are just unable to talk about your loss, there's a good chance you're avoiding it. And as a protection mechanism, your brain won't even let you talk about it. If you are self-medicating, as we talked about, so you're looking for relief through drugs, through alcohol, through sleep, you're like, I'm just never going to go to bed, I'm just going to sleep my life away. All those kind of self-medicating habits can be a sign of avoidance. If you just cannot go to certain places, you know, it's really common for bereaved people to avoid certain places. You know, maybe you avoid the hospital, maybe you avoid driving back past the funeral home, maybe you avoid certain aisles in the grocery store or certain restaurants or parks or whatever that you have strong feelings with. You know, it's important to know that that is normal for a long time, but at a certain point, you have to face those things, right? You can't avoid it for forever. And that would be another form of like minorly, but where we see avoidance really commonly in grief is, oh, that's hard. I got to avoid this trigger. And there's obviously a time and a place for that. So not all avoidance is bad. But you know, eventually we work through all of those things, including triggers and where we're able to face them again, because we have to get to a point of, you know, being healthy in our loss and in our pain and in this grief process. Oftentimes for people, grieving is going to be the most complex emotions that they've ever felt. They're in deep pain and they're suffering and it's so hard. But it's important to know that avoiding your loss only adds to that burden and to that stress and to the duration of the intense grief process where you're clawing your way, you're just trying to survive, you're trying to get some breaths, you know, as the waves pound down upon you. And, you know, there are certain things, you know, you can meditate, you can practice deep breathing, you can do different things to try to help calm yourself. But you have to go through, you have to go through the trenches. You know, grief is very, very painful. And unfortunately, you know, we all here on this podcast know that too well. And know just the gravity of our loss and how that has affected our lives. But, you know, we don't want to avoid our children, right? And I know no parent does. You know, we want to love our children. We want to accept them and share them. And we're so proud of them. And so as we get to experience the grief and the pain and the loss, you know, we're experiencing the love we have for our child. And that love when there's no one living to, you know, express it towards, right? That's grief. And so as we can kind of just keep that perspective of why that pain and why that hurt is so great, it can kind of help reorientate us and know that, yeah, this is hard. It's scary, but it's something I have to do. I have to go through this process. And my child wants me to end up on a side of grief that's healthy. And you know, that's good. And we don't want to set ourselves up for further issues and trials and heartaches, because we've chosen the avoidance route. And we don't want to cause other people in our life, especially those close to us who are also grieving, you know, extra pain as well. And avoidance usually does that. It usually ends up hurting others who are close to the lost one as well. And so, you know, we just want to avoid all of that. So I definitely encourage you to start journaling your thoughts, maybe start drawing pictures, start talking to your baby, writing letters to your baby. Then you can read those letters to your child as a starting point. And then hopefully you can build up to sharing and grieving openly, you know, with someone who's close to you, who maybe is also grieving or is just a wonderful support. And, you know, you just work your way. Again, we all have different personalities, how open or closed we are, you know, depends on that. And obviously personality affects grief. So again, there's not a perfect way to grieve, but long term, you know, avoidance doesn't work and it just sets ourselves up for a lot of difficulty. But do know that it is a thing. It's, you know, documented. We know that it's real. So if that's you, you know, there's no need to feel bad, but just today start working on openly processing your loss and grieving it, because that's what your body, your mind, your heart was designed to do. And it's what it needs to do to get into a better, healthier place. Again, it's a lifelong journey. You'll always grieve your loss of your child, but it definitely helps set you up on a better road. We cannot thank you enough for being here, for being part of this community. Remember that we drop new episodes every Friday at 3 a.m. Eastern, 12 a.m. Pacific time. Again, just thank you for being here. If you haven't already, go ahead and rate the show, give us a review. It just helps us out. And know that you are on my heart, you're in my prayers, you know, you're on my mind. I'm so sorry that you're a part of this club, you're a part of this community. But just know that there are so many out there who are praying for you and thinking of you and who really do care. And I just hope that this, you know, podcast can be a blessing to you. Again, we thank you for giving us your time, and we hope to see you next week. If you ever want to reach us just to chat, to share your story, to suggest topics, email us at maverickjohnconis@gmail.com. The description, the email will be in the description below. So again, thank you for being here, and we hope and pray that you have a wonderful, blessed weekend.